Chapter 14. The Path of Flesh. Sludgy drizzle fell from green skies. The belches of war rumbled around the world. The servants of the corpse god were close at hand. Time was running out for the invaders. The Death Guard had their camp in a shallow valley in the mountains to the north of Hecatone. It was a miserable, dreary place. At its center, a rusting platform of three interlocked circles had been raised high over the ground. Upon it were gathered 340 mortal wretches under the dull white eyes of Mortarion. They were the cult of endless proliferation, seers dedicated to the service of Nurgle. Every one of them was a psyker, and some were of no mean talent. Their blighted lives lived out for the glory of the plague god. They were meek and keen to please their immortal lord. Though they had power of their own, it was nothing to that of Mortarion. Beside the might of the Lord of the Death Guard, their gifts were feeble corpse lights next to the sun. Mortarion sat upon a high-backed throne, fashioned from stacked, greening bones. His armored hands gripped armrests made of columns of inverted skulls. Around him were seven Death Shroud Terminators, their enormous armored bodies dwarfish near the immensity of their demonic lord. Their giant scythes were miniature compared to the great weapon Silence, hung on rusting brackets above Mortarion's head. The power of chaos had swelled Mortarion well beyond his original dimensions. Made twice the size of a mortal man by the Emperor, Nurgle had stretched him further so that he was 30 feet tall, a stature befitting his exalted status in the plague god's court. Up a long rug made of rotting manskins, the high thaumaturge of the seer cult made his wheezing way to Mortarion's feet. He was blessed with Nurgle's abundance of flesh. A tall pointed hood, decorated with a dull brass flypin, covered all but his scabby mouth. A long kilt covered his lower portions, but his chest was bare, and his distended stomach swung ponderously over his belt. A skinny being, covered head to foot in dull green robes, accompanied the thaumaturge. He bore a dirty, dry flag, roughly daubed with Nurgle's fly. The high thaumaturge stopped before Mortarion's throne and kneeled with obvious effort. His faceless minion stood behind him, the standard of the cult flapping in the moist wind.
"We are ready, my lord," said the man.
Among his own ranks, he was feared. Hundreds plotted against each other in order to please him the most. He was arrogant, cruel, well-versed in the dark arts, and blessed by his god. Kneeling at the feet of the demon Primarch, he shook like a beast before slaughter. Mortarion's breathing mask hissed plumes of toxic vapor. The Lord of Death's lungs rattled in a deep draught.
"Then proceed," he said.
Mortarion stared over the supplicant's head at the storm on the horizon. Lance beams stabbed at the surface. Munitions plummeted like meteors. His hated brother was going to destroy Hecatone. Explosions thudded from positions around the city in a persistent beat. There was not much time.
"Bring forth Kugath and his plague guard before the fane and its clock is lost, or you shall suffer such torments that even the most sincere faith in the plague god cannot blunt."
The man's hood quivered, amplifying his fearful shaking.
"My lord," he said.
For a man so fat and ill, he positively sprang to his feet. He bowed and scraped back down the rug of skins, turning only when he had reached a respectful distance.
"In the name of Nurgle, all-powerful god of life and death, let the ritual commence!"
A brass gong boomed dully. A chant began. The sorcerers made a hollow circle around the point where the three platforms intersected, leaving but one break in their wall of scrofulous flesh, so that Mortarion, sitting at the extreme edge of the northernmost circle, could look into the center with his view uninterrupted. Seven of the 340 walked forward to the center of this circle, their paces set to match the solemn time of the chant. They took up equidistant station, forming a smaller circle within the larger. At once, they reached up and cast down their hoods, then unpinned their cloaks and let them fall to the floor, leaving them naked in the rain. Seven of the most blessed of Nurgle's followers had been chosen. Their range of deformities was impressive. Not one part of them was free of blemish or disease. This one had feet swollen to gargantuan size by elephantiasis. That one, limbs withered and fingers missing to leprosy. Another's face had collapsed in on itself, its skull eaten by bone disease, leaving a puckered, whistling hole to serve as mouth and nose. All had sores, pox, buboes, and patches of garish lividity. Their skin was uniformly discolored and slack. Parasites, revealed by their disrobing, scuttled for armpits and groins to get out of the rain. Their ailments exceeded the worst morbidities a man could bear without death. Nurgle had worked his flesh change on most. A wide maw lined with black teeth gaped in a woman's belly. A man cradled a thrashing tentacle that had replaced his right arm, and a third was surrounded by a swarm of flies that sang out the names of lost diseases at the edge of hearing and crawled in and out of cavities in the man's skin.
"Oh, great Nurgle!" intoned the thaumaturge over the droning of his coven. "In generosity, you have blessed these fortunates. We thank you for their afflictions. We give praise to your munificence. We grovel in worship at your kindnesses. We offer them back to you to take into your garden, where you may admire your work and take satisfaction in your artfulness."
His warbling voice rose.
"Take back your worthy sons and daughters into the heavens of your endless garths. Take up their love and their worship to your rotting breast, so that they might forever live and be reborn in all the multiplicities of decay's form."
Lightning burst overhead, a thrashing, seven-pointed trident of virulent green electricity that flicked and cracked back and forth in the sky. The rain fell heavy. The seven held up ritual athames in fists and coiled tentacles, presenting the metal to the sky.
"Take us, O Grandfather! Cherish us!" they sang.
The lightning burst again, earthing itself in their daggers. Shaking with the power dancing over their skin, the seven rammed the tips of their blades into their bellies and with quick, agonized, upright jerks, eviscerated themselves. They cried in pain and ecstasy as their entrails tumbled out. Already, their god had accepted the offering, and their offal greened as the coven chanted, bursting with the squirming life of maggots. To death's embrace the seven rushed, falling into the slime of their own decaying innards as life bled out of them into the downpour.
"Open the way!" cried the thaumaturge. "By the three greater names of the plague god, I command it to be so! Open the way!"
The corpses jerked. Lightning slashed down into them again. Their rib cages burst open with sickening cracks, wrenching themselves free of the dead flesh, tearing whipping spines behind them. Aglow with pestilential foxfire, the bones rose up, circling each other, growing in size. Black matter poured from nowhere to coat them. Tendrils grew from rib cage to rib cage, epidemic fast, in twisting bursts. The tendrils flailed, hissed, wailed with inhuman voices, before touching and pulling at each other, linking the bones into a lopsided elliptical archway 90 feet high.
"Nurgle! Nurgle! Nurgle!"
chanted the crowd in feverish rhapsody. A sickening light kindled at the center of the gate, growing swiftly in brightness so that it glared dangerously into the eyes of all upon the platform. Reality rippled, warping glass caught in the heat of magic, bowing outwards in violent convexities that sang a song of tortured physics.
"Nurgle! Nurgle! Nurgle!"
Lance beams slashed the sky to the south. Hecatomb's end had come. Nurgle had his answer to that. Fire burst from the gap, rooting itself in the eye sockets of the seer cult. Green energies shot from their mouths and their clothes, cooking off a ripe steam from their sodden gowns. A stuttering thunder that could have been a godly laugh rolled through the boiling sky. To a terrific boom, the gate burst wide, ripping open a sore on the skin of reality. The seer cult fell dead in one instant, leaving the High Thaumaturge and his banner-bearer the sole survivors of their number. Their bodies thumped down to the brown metal like sacks tumbling from the tailgate of a cart. Another world, more diseased and blighted than Parmenio, could be glimpsed through the sucking warp rift. Ajax, the garden world, the planet Mortarion would remake and rename as Pestiliax, the heart and keystone of his plans to drag Ultramar entire into the warp. The view through was suddenly obscured by a mountain of loathsome flesh upon a giant palanquin borne by a horde of plague mites. Scowling miserably, the demon Kugath pushed his way through the warp, stepping from one world to another in a beat of his rotten heart. The rain put Kugath uncomfortably in mind of his rival, Rottigus. Manifestation upon Parmenio had none of the joy of their ravaging of Tartella or the taking by plague of Ajax. Septicus kept his horns hidden away under a cowl and his face somber. His other lieutenants were equally morbid. The Nurglings mewled and complained under Kugath's bulk. He rocked his platform spitefully, giving them something real to moan about. The seven great unclean ones of the Plague Guard Legion approached Mortarion. The demon Primarch hunched on his throne, his wings folded against the driving rain. Parmenio was dark and miserable, but not in the right kind of way. Fresh winds probed at the edges of the stinking mists, threatening to tease them apart and blow away glorious fetor. Nearby, the weapons of mortals cut the atmosphere. This was not a propitious manifestation. Kugath looked at Aurora in the sky, visible only to demon eyes.
"Nurgle's power is slipping away," said Kugath.
Ajax had a shroud of warp current about it that he could draw strength from to force his existence upon the truculent cosmos. On Ajax, he felt vigorous. On Parmenio, he could feel mealy mundanity under the flow of the warp, a grit under the sheets of a comfortable bed. He felt if he drew too hard on it to fuel his sorcery, it would give out. He would unravel, and the laws of the mortal realm would expel him.
"The perfumed air of the garden wafts but fitfully over this place."
He turned his mighty head to look beyond the platforms over the Death Guard camp.
"Your clock is in place. Does it not work?"
He shuddered. There was a wholesomeness emanating from somewhere close. Kugath had the sensation of being watched by unfriendly eyes. All the demons felt it. They trudged out of the rift quietly. The Nurglings had lost their mirth, becoming as miserable as the plaguebearers, whereas the plaguebearers had become withdrawn and whispered their counts. Beasts of Nurgle slumped by on acidic slime trails, whimpering, too cowed to play. The Plague Father looked back at his stony-faced lieutenants, Septicus, Famine, the Gangrel, Pestus Thrun, Squatchimus, and Bubondubon, who of them all was the only one to keep his good humour.
"What have you tricked me into?"
Kugath demanded of Mortarion. He leaned forward, eliciting squeals of alarm from his palanquin bearers.
"The plan has hit a further complication," said Mortarion. "The warp withdraws. The power that aided my brother through the warp is at play here on the surface, working against our lord. I have hit a barrier at the western extremity of this continent, a city that will not fall. There is a protection over it." "Which power stops you? Have you determined whether it is our ever-changing rival or him?"
said Kugath. Misgiving filled his miserable heart and spilled out between his rotting teeth. So potent was the feeling that Mortarion sank lower into his throne, like a cur fearful of his master's whip.
"Beyond the city, the lands remain unblessed by Nurgle's fecund gifts. All is slow stability, free of rot and rebirth. I asked which power, O Lord of Death, said Kugath.
The muscles twitched around his loose eye, and he put up a fat hand to prevent its dropping out.
It matters not, said Mortarion. The result is the same, whoever challenges us. Our goals are unchanged. Parmenio is a stage for the second act of Gilliman's fall. I have sent prayers to our grandfather, asking for his help. The portents are good. I am heeded. You'll need more aid?
Asked Kugath incredulously.
At your request, I have brought the greater part of the demonic host of Ajax that will be Pestiliax.
He shuddered. The flesh of his mountainous flanks quivered.
No more can be brought here. The legions of Nurgle are septets of infinity. Seven times seven times seven, and on forevermore. But there is not warp current enough to support more at this place. We shall see, said Mortarion. Nurgle will provide. The great battle for the soul of Ultramar is at hand. I will not rest until I have claimed this realm for Grandfather. He will support my aim. We will conquer this world and bring my brother to his doom on Pestiliax.
On the horizon, the false lightnings of Void War flashed ever brighter. The final stabs of light hammered down from orbit to obliterate Hecatomb. Its destruction lit up the lowering skies with cleansing fire. At the destruction of the city, the warp gate shriveled behind Kugath, narrowing the way between the worlds. The demon legion wailed in consternation and picked up its pace to get through before the path was shut, trooping down from the platforms and into the Death Guard's camp.
Hurry!
Shouted Pestus Thrune.
Hurry!
Kugath gasped.
And now the power lessens more. Our kind cannot tarry long here. My brother has neutralized my warp clock more swiftly than I had anticipated, said Mortarion. But the portents are good. All is going to plan.
Kugath was unconvinced.
No more lies, Mortarion, he said,
and turned his attentions to holding open the gate long enough for his legion to pass through.